bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us. Hour number two is now underway. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, hit me up on the text line. Dale Jackson in about 30 minutes. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Clyde Jones, the Democrat nominee for the first congressional district here in our neck of the woods. So please stay tuned for that. Recapping the news, generally, we spent a lot of time on the whole flock camera phenomenon. There's a DCCC poll showing a dead heat between Rep. Marcus, the Republican nominee over at AL2, and Shamari Figures, the incumbent Democrat congressman. But it's a newly drawn district, and we're waiting to see what that is going to look like. And, that's a race. Some of it may just be, it behooves the DCCC to try to create the, if anything, an illusion that this is a competitive general election, because then the Republicans will spend money, time, resources in the Alabama 2nd Congressional District, and then it becomes where those resources aren't being used elsewhere. So that's in the news. Like I said, there was a lot made about the low turnout, 5%. But I told you, four congressional districts had special elections last Tuesday. Only two really had, well, we'll say three. We'll say the seventh had, Terry Sewell ran unopposed. And on the Republican side, there was a competition. In the Democrat races, not as much in the other three districts. I mean, there was not the intrigue there. And then you look at AL1 and AL2. I think there was an effort to really, by the Carl campaign, to really promote turnout. But there was a competitive primary in AL2. Now, low turnout there, too. But I think, like, having the sixth and the seventh included in that, where you really did not have a very robust campaign, really contributed to the lower turnout. So those two dragged down everything else. 251-343-0106. I'm going to get through some text here. Unnamed texter. Was able to find my elderly father because of these cameras. Also, I drive around a lot. The number of people who run red lights is unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I just had someone blow their horn at me because I didn't run a red light and they had to slam on the brakes. This is like what you see in third world countries. The total, neglect of traffic laws and not adhering to traffic signals or stop signs. So if this weren't a thing, now listen, there's the other side texture where there is a perverse incentive here. No doubt about it. But it was a solution to a real problem in some places that just can't maintain any sort of real traffic enforcement. Roger, what about the Sixth Amendment right to cross-examine and question witnesses? Well, that would pertain to you could challenge these things in the courtroom. They're not absolute. If you get a ticket by mail, you'll just pay it. Don't want to deal with the hassle. You're not going to go to court. Or whatever, you're just so there's that problem too. But if you want to exercise your right to cross examine and question witnesses, you have that opportunity. It's not judge, jury, and flock camera. Sam says, hey, Jeff, imagine if the Pritchard Police Department had flock cameras. That would have been absolutely scary. But even if they did, I mean, it does take a bureaucracy to administer them. Are they capable of even that? Butterknife, these cameras should not be installed in an area like Fairhope because it takes away people's freedom and liberty. They should not be installed anywhere else. The government does not have the right. They would argue they do. They would argue they do to install them in Fairhope or Beverly Hills or wherever. So I guess if you're going to make the argument that this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, then that's the argument, that this is warrantless surveillance. That's unconstitutional. But the way they would approach this, that you don't have a right to use our highways, to use our roads and bridges. That's not a right. That's a privilege bestowed on you by the government. So by taking a driver's license issued by whatever government agency, you're ceding your Fourth Amendment right. That's the legal argument. That's not where I am. Like my position on this is pretty easy. If you don't want them, then we don't need them. But there's so much complacency about these issues. And there's also people who are probably for these. I mean, we've had a few texts this morning. So these things are good. They enhance public safety. So the way you beat them, I guess you gotta win hearts and minds. Like, hey. And I think the stringer argument is like I said, the perverse incentive of having a profit that this becomes a cash, a revenue source for certain governments. And that sort of legislature can really do some things here. Now this is a little barren when he was in charge in the Alabama legislature. I think he was, you know, you have these cities that would put interstate highways in their police jurisdiction. And he got a speeding ticket. This is the legend. I don't know if it's true, but he had a high-ranking elected official get a speeding ticket on his way to Montgomery. And then what did the legislature do? Well, they passed a law to keep that from happening ever again. You can't just expand your police jurisdiction to certain highways just for the sake of collecting speeding ticket revenue. And we've seen it abused. The most famous in recent memory, they built Interstate 22, Corridor X. And it was the last leg of it was built into Birmingham and onto 65 from Jasper. And once you got to Jersey County, I think it went through a city called Brookside, or town, but whatever. It went through Brookside city limits, and they just set up shop. And they were pulling people over and they were making bank off of these tickets. And they had off of this revenue, they had assembled like something akin to like a small National Guard unit and for their police department. You had one municipal judge, and they showed the line, and this was like a story that was shot to AL.com, and they won a Pulitzer for it. But one of the like most striking photographs was on court day. You had a line wrapped around the building outside, for the hearing on the speeding tickets. And these are the people who were challenging them, because most people, as I said, would just pay it, get on with their lives. And there were abuses, and they were documented. So, you know, we've seen bad actors before when it comes to this issue. Derek, Mr. Stringer, we already have laws, the Fourth Amendment. Whole lot of talk, we'll see. They all talk, but do very little. Always come back with some excuse. Well, he's just one member in 105 of 105 in the Alabama House of Representatives and 150 in the total legislature. I think Representative Stringer is very cautious here. He doesn't sound like he's a big advocate of these things, but I don't know how much power he has in his personal capacity to really. I mean, Ernie Arbrough is, you know, kind of an absolutist. He's talking about pushing a bill just to ban them. I mean, I think that there are members of the Alabama legislature, Derek, who are like very pro, very for these things, advocates. And maybe they're getting pressure from their city councils and their mayors to support these, because it is a revenue generating source, unfortunately. But B, it takes a little bit of the burden off of their local police force. But that's where the guardrails are going to happen. I mean, when these cities get out of line, the legislature has to get involved. You've seen some cities along interstate highways really become very, very aggressive in trying to track down drug smugglers. And you're like, well, that's good. But it's the municipal government, and there was one place in North Alabama. This was the allegation. It was Priceville. They hired a Dog the Bounty Hunter's son, and they were chasing suspected drug smugglers across jurisdictions. And in some cases, they were putting the public safety in jeopardy with their pursuit. And the legislature had to say, hey, you got to knock that off. You can't put the public, you can't be pursuing a suspect and have just a turn a blind eye to the traffic on the road and the danger that your police vehicle could pose there. So there's a precedent here for sure. Jason, I think the real story is the weakness of current troops that are complaining. What a bunch of pansies. Talk about the USS Abraham Lincoln. Those sailors, like I said, if there's real structural problems and plumbing and long deployments without any sort of relief, then yes, that's something that needs to be corrected. However, I'm telling you, the way this story is being reported, it comes off as just a smear campaign from within the Pentagon. Some of you may know this, but it's a very political. There may be a defense contractor that's in line to remediate a lot of these naval vessels, and they can push this narrative out there, and all of a sudden Congress reacts with a big spending bill and they make bank. I mean, there's all these possibilities you've got to consider when you see these things taking place in our news. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing, and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind but mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll keep rolling here with these texts. The sailors on the Lincoln should be asked. The truth will come out. No talking points. Get the truth. But there's no way of knowing this. You can't just go, all right, I'm going to go over to the USS Abraham Lincoln and start interviewing sailors. Maybe there could be some kind of congressional inquiry and they could testify. But, you know, beyond that, you know, what can you do to see through the talking points, Charles? Old guy lost what credibility, Jeff? Talk about the media. at one time, you may not have ever really trusted the media, but some people in this country have. And what I'd say to that is that it is along the way somewhere, the credibility in the eyes of the public, at least, went away, eroded even further. Just generally speaking, when you look at these Pew Research polls that issue very issue-oriented polling, the public trust of the media is at an all-time low. Altirano, regarding flock cameras, we may be focusing on the wrong weaknesses in our civil liberties. When our government went after J6 grandmas, they primarily used unprecedented cell phone data to ping mining. We have an illusion of civil rights, one that fades when we are critical of an administration. Well, and that was telecoms just kind of going along. There was a sense of panic about January 6th. The optics weren't good. And Democrats looked at it at the time. Yes, no one was for a lot of the things that happened on January 6th. But Democrats looked at it. They said, you know what? This is our opportunity. Yes, we're outraged by it. And you know, in the case of Nancy Pelosi, she took it personally and tried to impeach. But that's, to me, they won in the arena of public opinion immediately. And they didn't let the crisis go to waste. And they kind of held a gun, a metaphorical gun, to the head of the telecoms. The cell phone provider said, give us this data. That's just what they did. And, you know, there could be like a class action kind of thing here. Maybe. That's what they did. They pursued cell phone data for anyone that was inside the Beltway, I think. Their ATM transactions. And if you were a right winger in the DMV, District of Columbia, Maryland, or Virginia, and they came for you. They had some questions. Even if you didn't set foot on the Capitol grounds, you just happened to be hanging out at Arlington that day. You were on a list. Unnamed texter, I live in Hansville, and since there is zero police coverage and there isn't enough tax base to purchase the flock cameras yet, red light stop signs and yellow lines are completely optional. You can go as fast as you want till you get to Coleman, which does have flock cameras at a police department. And the Hansville situation was a self-inflicted wound. I mean, you have some of these police departments that are bad. And Hansville clearly needs... the way it works down here, 256 texter, is I guess Pritchard is our maybe not exact example of this, but the local sheriff's department comes in and bolsters, you know, whatever policing is necessary, which I assume is not being handled sufficiently, at least based on your accounting of it. Sean writes, cops use a flock to stalk hot chicks. Squirrelverine, how hard is it to drive, right? The signs on the road and what not to do are everywhere. Along with the odometer in your face, even if the cameras were in Pritchard, all the virtue signalers would protest them from afar, like they are doing about the supposed data center and about the Mobile Sheriff's operation there, but they won't go there themselves. The cameras have become a new target of left-wing attention seekers, showing off how they caught and vandalized them. Ironically, they called us paranoid for being angry about the Chinese spy balloon. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Joining us now, we do this on Mondays from Yellowhammer News and WVNN up in Huntsville, Dell Jackson. Dell, good morning. How are you?
I could not be any better. I'm excited to be here, ready to get this week started right and all that other fun stuff.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Hey, let's kick it off here. Are you the Red Scare, and it's already feeling kind of played out to me.
Which one's this?
So the Republicans and the Socialists are coming, and they are. They are having some successes, but that's not going to get the job done in November.
Well, I think I've come to the conclusion Republicans are pretty much screwed at this point, regardless, for a couple of different reasons. Iran, gas prices, and data centers. As dumb as that all sounds, that's the truth of the matter, in my opinion. Now, that aside, there's a lot to discuss on all those fronts. The Red Scare is the best thing Republicans got going for them, mostly because Democrats keep going, yeah, that's us. Yeah, that's who we are. Yeah. That's we're totally that. Government seize the means of production, tax the hell out of you. Government run healthcare, take it all over. I mean, they're laying it all out perfectly, and they're saying we are going to do this, and Republicans can seize on it. I think to cut into their lead, but that's all it is. It's only going to be cutting into their lead. It's not going to be one that where they're very easily going to be able to win these battles in any substantive way. I think the battle's already lost for 2026. 2028 is a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's. I still think it's going to be a Democrat kind of night. I think short-term, Democrats are going to do well. Long-term, they got problems. But one thing I would say Republicans got to do a little bit better job is try not to, like, justify the status quo. And how about, like, talk about, like, kind of moving the country out of this, like, at least this perception that things are way more expensive and we're just in this war quagmire.
Here's the problem with that. And this is where I think the real issue is. You can't tell people to feel differently than they feel. The Biden administration learned that. Even though the media tried to talk them out of it, they tried their best. You can't do it because people feel what they feel. And the Trump administration and his allies are trying to tell you, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And you could even make the argument, like, well, some of the arguments you hear are kind of ridiculous. The $20 burrito thing, the, you know, kids can't get married because they can't buy houses when, you know, the fact of the matter is we pay less for food than we ever have in today's world. More kids, and I can't kids, young people are buying houses before they get married than ever before. I mean, so like you can come to them with the facts all you want. It literally does not matter. It's how people feel. Inflation's down significantly. Hiring is picking up unless you're in the government. None of that matters. It's all about how they feel, and it's going to be hard to convince people to feel otherwise.
Well, that's what the Biden administration during the 24 cycle tried to do.
Yeah, but they were lying.
But remember, they would tell you, no, stupid, the economy's doing well.
Right.
Remember that? That's the mistake. Republicans cannot make that mistake.
Sure.
I think you got to acknowledge, okay, this isn't working out. Here's what we're going to do to fix it.
Yeah. I wish that would be enough. But, I mean, every time someone tells them a little dose of reality, they just get mad about it. I mean, people just get mad about it. I mean, so it's to the point where you can't even talk to people about what these problems are because they don't actually want to hear it. They have no interest in actually hearing these things. What they have interest in being told is the government's going to solve these issues for you. And guess who's telling them that that's going to happen? Democrats. Democrats are telling them, hey, listen, we're with you. If it was up to us, the government would be providing this thing you're mad about. It would be over. There'd be no issue with any of this because we would just provide that answer for you. And it's, they're going to win with that. That's going to be an argument they win with.
What do you think? I mean, yeah, the Democrats are playing it right, or at least the media are, which is just an extension.
I mean, they're playing it right. I put it this way, Jeff. They're playing it right in the sense that they are playing the crowd that wants to hear what they're given. Okay. And the media is going to amplify it in the best possible way. Yeah. You got Joe Scarborough screaming about, you know, socialists and 9/11 and all this other stuff. Hassan Piker and all these other things. But guess what's going to happen on like November 1st? He's going to come out and he's going to say, look, you just got to stop Trump. That's all it is. And not that anyone's listening to Joe Scarborough. I'm not suggesting that. But it's like death by a thousand cuts, right? And that's where this is going to be somewhat effective, especially when he's been sort of a truth teller for a while, you know, because he's been speaking out against those socialists. But even he admits that you gotta just, Trump is the existential threat here.
Dude, well, this is it, though, that you look up at CNN at any given moment, like right now, and guess what? They got on the crawl gas prices.
Of course, they're back to it, yeah.
Yeah, that's, to me, that's the strategy. That's everything.
It's great.
You're never going to fix, you're never going to change the attitudes about Donald Trump with anybody, pro, against, whatever. The one thing that I think does resonate are people got to look and say, and then not necessarily in Alabama before I get a bunch of angry texts, but I think, you know, in these blue wall states, people are just, they're not going to care about any of this other stuff. They're just going to say, hey, my gas prices are higher. I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's absolutely right. I mean, that's it. If I drive by the BJ's on the way to work and it's 313, I get kind of relieved that it's 313, but I also realize it needs to come down about 40 more cents before election day for it to matter.
And it'll come down after Labor Day. But that, you know, the thing that, you know, with all that talk about, well, things are going to get better, I think it might be too late now. It's August. You needed to, I think the economy.
Show election date is 270. I think things will matter. But if it doesn't get close to that, it won't matter. You're right.
But I think the economy's already baked in now that people just think things are expensive and somebody's got to pay the price. So this is how we do it.
Yeah. And we'll also keep in mind that there was 20% inflation under Joe Biden. Okay. In that 4 years, price went up 20%. Okay. And price haven't come down. Well, they were never going to come down. And that's why we talked here on this show, or when you and I would talk, I would say that price is going to come down is a really stupid thing to do, because they're not.
No.
So we're going to put the brakes on the increases. You can absolutely make that argument. But the argument they made was we're going to bring prices down. I was like, no, you're not.
No. Well, you know, anytime you talk about your predecessor in a scenario like this, it's just not going to work. People, yep. You can't blame Biden right now. It's that time has passed. Maybe a year ago, but I think it's now. You own it.
Yep. I agree with that. I agree with all of that. And I think that there's a big problem here. They're going to have a big problem. And Republicans are, for lack of a better word, boned.
But the Red Scare thing, I don't know.
That's all they got, man.
I don't think it's going to work.
That's it.
I mean,
that's
you see, it. Mike Johnson's got the contrast with America or for America or whatever it is. And it's just a here's Democrats bad. And that, I mean, you're just pouring money down a rat hole.
Yeah. But I again, hate to do it, but it'd be repetitive here, but that's it, man. That's it. I mean, there is literally nothing else to be gained here. There's nowhere else for it to go, because that is literally it.
They wasted a lot of capital on the SAVE Act and didn't get it done, right?
Yep.
I think.
And they can go out and say, they wouldn't even let us pass the SAVE Act. Can you believe it? Because they're cheating. And you can say all this stuff. I mean, yeah. Which is what they'll do. And I'm sorry. It's going to be a little crazy.
Now I guess maybe you could do something with the Fauci stuff. You kind of look around. It's getting to be go time, and I just think that there needs to be a course correction or something here. But hey, look, I'll say this: you still look at some of these prognostications. Yes, they're very they seem to be very leaning Democrat.
Yep,
but it could be a lot worse. I think it's going to be thin. I think everything's so divided up and you know, the redistricting has changed that. We're not going to have big wave elections like we had in 2010, 2006, 94, et cetera.
Yeah, it's not. I was talking about this the other day, and I'm interested to see if you agree with this. You know, 2010 was interesting because there was so much room to gain for Republicans. So when they blew it out, they picked up a ton, right? And they didn't like wipe them out or anything like that. The Democrats still mattered, but they won so many seats because there were so many seats to win. We're a divided nation.
Well, what had happened in 08, you know, you had Obama, and you had sort of like with Trump in 2016, you had a bunch of new voters, people who never voted. They wanted to be a part of history. They wanted to, you know, vote for the first African-American president. And then 2010 rolls around, those voters all go away. They did their, they got their, you know, first vote certificate or whatever. And then and things kind of settled back. That pendulum swings the other way. This time, I don't know what the electorate really is going to look like for a midterm. I do not believe that in 2028, when we talk to presidential politics, all this socialist stuff is a problem for those guys.
Agreed. I mean, absolutely agree. I mean, that's, and you've got, I think Democrats are going to win the House. It's going to be razor thin in the Senate. I mean, this isn't like some like unique take or anything, but razor thin in the Senate, and it could go either way depending on how things go from here on out. I mean, it's just, that's as simple as it is.
Yeah. And well, and then it'll be fun to watch what happens. I think you and I've talked about it. Democrats are going to be at odds with each other, at least early on. There's no real leader here. Hakeem Jeffries has gotten on the wrong side of the socialist, right? So he's got to figure that out, and they may not vote for him if he tries to run for speaker.
Yeah, yes. I mean, and we've seen this a lot with Republicans. They've been fighting over different things when it comes time to vote. He's not this enough or he's not that enough, and then they all fight it out for a couple days, and then they all come around and say, okay, this is probably the best guy for it. But maybe it doesn't work that way. But I think what you're going to end up with is a pretty good, you're going to get a guy who's going to be beholden to the more liberal wing of his party because he knows that's the truth. That's who they are. And they're trending more that way. So they'll probably, especially if they seize power, he's going to promise them that we're going to move to the left. And I think he's going to deliver right away.
Well, I don't know.
They won't be able to get anything done, but they'll get the votes done.
It might not be him, though. I think they got to find another compromise person. Who that is, I don't know. I don't know that side well enough, but I do think that's sort of where
Hillary Clinton.
Well, Hillary can't be Speaker of the House.
Why?
They just won't do it. I mean, she's running. She's running for president.
But you don't have to be Speaker. You don't have to be in the House.
You don't have to be in the House. That's never happened before, okay?
Right. It was a joke. We're wasting too much time on it. It was just a joke.
Well, but still, you look at the other side. I think they're going to have a fight. And, the only people who are going to make anything out of it is going to be the Fox News, Newsmax crowd. Yep. But, that's just sort of the prelude to the presidential primary. I mean, Democrats had their, meeting. They took Iowa out of the mix. They're going to go to, New Mexico or something. And I think South Carolina is their first state. They're just totally, changing the way things have been done for the last, 50, 60 years.
Yeah, because they're trying to remake the world order. I mean, that's
what they're trying to do. I mean, because you know why they do New Hampshire and Iowa early, because they're purple swingy states, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good representation of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It's not too far right. It's not too far left. It's just sort of there. It's just right in Goldilocks terms. And they're going to go, and they're going to, by doing what they're doing, they are setting it up for a more left of center, more radical candidate to win their nomination.
Correct. I mean, that's what they're set up for. And, I think Republicans are going to walk in with a J.D. Vance or a Marco Rubio, and their question's going to be as follows. 4 years of Trump? I mean, they're going to do that with all of them, but it's an even better argument if it's J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio.
Well, and, you know, then it's just, they're going to just brand them as Trump 2.0 or something worse than Trump.
You guys, you understand Trump's dangerous, but you better believe that Marco Rubio is far more dangerous than Trump because he's smarter, but just as evil. I mean, that's their...
Well, tell me something. Like, 20 years from now...
They did it to DeSantis. They did the exact thing to DeSantis and Ted Cruz.
20 years from now, and you were around, like, George W. Bush and the Hitler comparisons and all the same things you're doing now.
Yep.
20 years from now, they're going to look at Trump and he's going to be like, well, you know, he really wasn't that bad. He, you know, and they're going to be like, are you kidding me, man? Like, after all of this... Are we gonna be undoing this in 2046 on a on a Monday morning, and just kind of laughing at that?
God, in 2046 I will be 67 years old. So let's hope not, Jeff. Let's hope we're not doing this. But you're probably right. You're probably correct. We will probably be doing this.
Well, it's just like they don't really mean what they say, and Trump's not as bad as they think.
Well, that's true. Democrats don't actually believe a single thing they say.
They work themselves up in a frenzy, then they like mature or something. Oh, well, you know, George W. Bush.
Here's my question to you.
Yes.
Have they been radicals all along and lying about it, or are they lying now about being radicals?
I think... I think they lied about being radicals all along, but it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that they sold it in a way thinking that it was never, ever going to happen. And then enough people came along and said, hey, that's what we want to do. And then they started getting candidates, and then the candidates weren't serious. Then the candidates became like, they started winning elections. Mm-hmm. And it's really just like, what they set up to happen this way.
All right, so here's a follow-up question for you. If they say woke one was crazy, what does that mean?
I don't know. What means
that there's a woke two is coming. That's what it means.
How much crazier can they go? Well,
Jeff, at the end of World War One, they weren't like, hey, World War One was crazy, right? Nobody said that. No, nobody said. They only said it with like World War One after World War Two. I mean, it's a sign that the second version's coming. They've just cleaned it up a little.
Well, I mean, but what is that?
It's just it's the same crap rebranded in a nicer package. Now it's like they're gonna get away from the whole like transing kids and stuff. Now it's about trans sports and stuff like that. Why are you so worried about trans sports? Can't you just let these people play and that kind of stuff? Now, I hope they go that path. I'm not suggesting I don't want them to go there because I think it's a suicide mission to do so. But they're kind of tipping their hand that they're not really the whole. They would say woke was crazy if you were not going to do it again. They're just hide. Mike, the reason for the two questions together was to make it clear they're frauds. Okay, they are absolute frauds. They still believe the crazy stuff they've always believed, and now they're just more radical.
Dale, that's it. Okay. Dale, folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
YellAmberNews.com. That's a quick way to do it. All social media at the Dale Jackson. And I'm on the radio and TV and places like that, too.
Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch no bandit run.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. So you can get in touch with the show if you so desire. Coming up on the program, Clyde Jones, scheduled to be here with us about 45 minutes or so. He is a Democrat nominee in the first congressional district contest on November 3rd. Mike writes, I found the stories of USS Boxers women's complaining about running out of feminine products gross and hilarious at the same time. It's another example why they shouldn't be on the front lines. bacon wrapped. I don't have a big deal with flock cameras, but I do think the person that passes you by speeding around you in the turning lane is going to pay a mail ticket. They could care less about the law. That for bacon wrapped. Bacon wrapped, I mean, that's, you play it fast and loose there and you lose your license. And I mean, there are penalties if you ignore it. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.